Follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people, but to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. But the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. Anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves, but the one who prophesies edifies the church. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but even more to prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets, so that the church may be edified. Now, brothers and sisters, if I come to you and speak in tongues, what good will I be to you unless I bring to you some revelation or knowledge or prophecy or word of instruction? Even in the case of lifeless things that make sounds, such as the pipe or harp, how will anyone know what tune is being played unless there is a distinction in the notes? Again, if the trumpet does not sound a clear call, who will get ready for battle? So it is with you. Unless you speak intelligible words with your tongue, how will anyone know what you are saying? You will just be speaking into the air. Undoubtedly, there are all sorts of languages in the world, yet none of them is without meaning. If then I do not grasp the meaning of what someone is saying, I am a foreigner to the speaker, and the speaker is a foreigner to me. So it is with you. Since you are eager for gifts of the Spirit, try to excel in those that build up the church. For this reason, the one who speaks in tongues should pray that they may interpret what they say. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. So what shall I do? I will pray with my spirit. And pick up my piece of paper. I will also pray with my understanding. I will sing with my spirit, but I will also sing with my understanding. Otherwise, when you are praising God in the spirit, how can someone else, who is now put in the position of an inquirer, say Amen to your thanksgiving, since they do not know what you are saying? You are giving thanks well enough, but no one else is edified. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than you all, but in the church I would rather speak five intelligible words than to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. What shall we say then, brothers and sisters? When you come together, each of you has a hymn, or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Everything must be done so that the church may be built up. If anyone speaks in a tongue, two, or at the most three, should speak, one at a time, and someone must interpret. If there is no interpreter, the speaker should keep quiet in the church and speak to himself and to God. This is the word of the Lord. Amen.
Hi, can you hear me this morning? Good morning, beloved children of God. How are you on this chilly second Sunday of January 2026? If it's not too late to say it, then Happy New Year. My name's Shane. I'm one of the leaders here at Emmanuel, and today we're dipping our toes into one of the most exciting and amazing and wonderful aspects of following Jesus, and that is speaking in tongues. So some of that passage was about prophecy, wasn't it? But is that next week, or that's in a couple of weeks? Today we're just focusing on the tongues. I wonder, back at Christmas time, did you buy someone a special gift? And you waited to see that look of surprise and joy on their face when they unwrapped your gift. It's just a glimpse of how God feels when he gives us his special and holy gifts. And he waits to see our hearts leap for joy. And my prayer this morning is that everyone here will jump for joy just a little bit, set on fire by the Holy Spirit. And it won't just be a spark for a few moments, and then we go home and forget it. But it will actually be an unstoppable blaze that lasts a lifetime. My dear friends, I want us to think together about something that is so beautiful and so personal and so powerful that it certainly changed my life. And I will describe that to you later. What a powerful thing is the name of Jesus. We sang that, didn't we? Nothing can stand against the power of Jesus. So today my talk is going to be part testimony and part exposition. And I thought long and hard about which sources to use as I prepared. And I would like to acknowledge the work of one man. We've got a picture there, Josh. There he is. The 19th and 20th century evangelist, Smith Wigglesworth. You heard of this man? He taught us that the gift of God of speaking in tongues is not just a religious phenomenon. It's not just a strange display, something weird. It is, he defined, a divine tool given by God himself for the strengthening of his people and the advancement of his work on earth. Oh, that sounds good to me. Are you ready for some strengthening? Are you ready for some advancement? I could sure do with some of that. How eagerly do you desire it? Are your spiritual antennae starting to tingle this morning? My prayer is that we will all be really open to anything that the Holy Spirit wants to do. So what is this thing then when we're talking about tongues? We're not talking about something man-made, a clever invention of the early church to make their services go with a bang. No, this is the very breath of God flowing through his Spirit-filled believers. It's heaven's language entrusted to human lips. It's a supernatural expression of our faith. It bypasses the limitations of our human understanding. It allows the Holy Spirit to pray and praise and speak through us directly to God. Wow. Anything that takes us directly to God, I'm all for. Imagine for a moment that you're in a situation where words fail you. Your heart is heavy because you're carrying a burden for a loved one. Or you're faced with a crisis situation that seems impossible to resolve. And you really want to pray, but your mind can't even think of the right words, where even to start. You open your mouth to speak, but all you can do is sigh. Well, Jesus knows what you're going through. He knows our pain. And that's where the beauty of tongues comes in, because God's Holy Spirit steps in and gives us expression in a heavenly language that connects us immediately to our Father in heaven. And in that moment, we are speaking mysteries to God that bypass our flawed human reasoning and our human language. Paul tells us in the reading we just heard that anyone who speaks in tongues does not speak to men, but speaks to God. Indeed, nobody understands them because they utter mysteries by the Spirit. This is not just poetry or metaphor. It's reality. For when you speak in tongues, you are communicating directly with the Father in a way that's pure and unfiltered and untainted by enemy influences or by selfish motives or by doubt or by fear. Your mind may be all over the show. You may be distracted and confused, but your spirit is fully alive and fully engaged with heaven when you speak in tongues. I remember hearing this story, the story of a woman who was woken up in the middle of her night with a sudden urge to pray, and she didn't know who for or why. So she prayed in tongues for over an hour without stopping. And the next day she found out that her son, who was overseas and in a different time zone, had been in a very dangerous situation at the exact hour that she prayed. and God had miraculously delivered him from death. She hadn't known the details of who she was praying for, but the Holy Spirit had. That's the power of this gift, because we are limited creatures, aren't we? And we don't know everything. We don't see the whole picture, but the Spirit of God does. The Spirit of God knows all things, searches for all things, understands exactly what and when and how to pray. So when we yield our tongue to him, we're giving him control of the most powerful instrument that we have, our words. And we're letting him direct them for his perfect purposes. So let's be clear, this gift is not given to us for show or entertainment. I'm going to use it later in this talk, but it's not for show. There's zero credit to me. It's not a badge of spiritual cleverness or superiority. It's not a mystical trick to try and impress others. No, brothers and sisters, it's a sacred trust given to us because of our closeness to God as his precious, beloved sons and daughters. So the divine intention is that God will be glorified. And that's what we're going to try and do this morning. Not us. His kingdom purposes will be fulfilled, not ours. Well, what are his kingdom purposes? Simply this, I suggest, that God wants to bless you and to bless others. It's easy, really. And in blessing you in personal prayer, tongues becomes a daily practice by which we edify ourselves. We build ourselves up spiritually. So it's like when you feel drained or discouraged or spiritually dry, speaking in tongues is like plugging into a direct power source. And as you pray in tongues, something shifts in your spirit. As the weight begins to lift, faith begins to rise, and you sense the presence of God wrapping himself around you. And in blessing others in a public setting like this, Paul teaches us that if the tongues are spoken aloud for all to hear, then there should be interpretation so that the message is understandable. Not because it's something weird, but he just wants everybody to understand. And then the whole church can be edified. He says in verses 18, 19 of our reading, "I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you." That's his personal prayer. He's doing it all the time. But in the church, the public prayer, he says, "I would rather speak 5 intelligible words in a language you understand than 10,000 words of tongues. And that's why I speak to you today in English." The gifts of the Spirit are never about drawing attention to ourselves. They're about blessing the whole body of Christ, his bride, glorifying God. And these gifts of tongues, they work in harmony with the other gifts, like healing and prophecy and words of knowledge. What they do is they release divine truth and divine encouragement. And Paul says in verse 26, "Everything must be done so that the church may be built up." Now, I know that some people shy away from using tongues, maybe because they fear that it will be strange or out of control. But remember this, I think Matt said it earlier, the Holy Spirit is gentle, and he doesn't force anyone to do anything. He just invites us lovingly. You are never overtaken in a way that makes you lose your mind or lose your will. You choose to yield, and as you do, the Holy Spirit gives you a divine voice. And also, he always waits for the right place and the right time so that you are ready for this great mystery. That may be this morning, but it may not be this morning. The Holy Spirit decides and leads. And each of you here will have your own stories of your journeys of faith. Mine involves learning to speak in tongues. So I'm going to describe that to you this morning, if you will allow me. I claim zero credit for myself. I'm hoping that you will find some encouragement, because if God can give this gift to a soppy duffer like me, he can give it to anyone. God led me here to Chichester through a series of heavenly events and appointments. I had become a Christian in London in my early 20s, but it was taking a long time to work its way down from my head to my heart. And I have to tell you, but by the age of 25, my lifestyle remained what shall I say, erratic. Then, in July 1988, I decided I would write to 90 UK universities that ran PGCE teaching courses. I wanted to start in September 1988, so I was giving them 2 months' notice. I thought that was only fair. 45 of them replied to me to say that I was totally off my rocker. Apparently, you need to apply about a year in advance. 44 universities ignored me completely. But one, Chichester University, seemed different. I opened their letter late on a Thursday night and read that I was invited to attend an interview the next day at 5 p.m. Well, as I boarded the train at Victoria at 3 p.m., I suddenly realized that I knew absolutely nothing about teaching. I was in trouble. I had not prepared in any way whatsoever. I picked up a newspaper that someone had left on the seat and out slipped the Times Educational Supplement. And out of that popped a one-page insert called The Idiot's Guide to the National Curriculum. Ooh, I thought. That's the very fella for me, I thought. And I memorized the 10 key points on the way down to the coast. So I arrived at the Dome in Bognor at exactly 5 p.m. on Friday. And the course leader, thinking he'd finish for the week, he explained that he needed to depart immediately to go and pick his children up. I will leave you in the capable hands of my colleague, he said. And he departed. He disappeared immediately. I looked at his colleague. His colleague looked perplexed and rather alarmed. He explained, I don't actually work here. I'm just helping out for the day. He sort of drummed his fingers. Anyway, he flustered, do you know anything about the national curriculum? I did. I just learned it. At 5:10, I walked out of there with a place guaranteed. But I didn't yet fully realize the lengths that God would go to get me to the right place at the right time to fill me with his Holy Spirit. Because it was 2 months later that I arrived in Bognor on a Saturday tea time with a suitcase in my hand looking for my digs. And as I stood in the street looking around, a girl came up to me who I'd never met before and said, I think God wants you to come to church with me tomorrow. Okay, I replied, where are we going? To the Baptist church, she informed me. What's that? I asked, being very unchurched. Oh, you'll see, she said. Just be here at 9:30 tomorrow morning. Well, I did. And when we got to the Baptist church, the Bognor Baptist church, now called something else, isn't it? I can't remember what it's called. For some reason, she sat somewhere else with somebody else. Funny that, isn't it? I never saw or spoke to her again. Amazing how God works. I found myself sitting next to a very serious middle-aged woman who turned to me and said, you do below the Lord, don't you? I didn't know what she was talking about. Oh yes, definitely, Mrs., I said. There's a lot of belowing going on over here. Yeah. Well, you'll be wanting to come to the mission tonight, won't you? She said. I thought she might be referring to a soup kitchen for mariners in distress. But it turned out that the evangelist, Don Double, was in town. The mission. He had pitched his circus tent on what I now know to be West Park in Aldwick. And that evening, I found myself sitting in what seemed to me to be a magical and enchanted place, whilst the Revelation Rock Band were pumping out their groovy worship numbers. And the place was packed, and people were speaking in tongues, and they were falling down all over the place, and people were getting healed right, left, and center. And it was all happening under these bright lights. And my eyes were on stalks. And when Don Double got up to speak, his first words, I believe this is true, his first words were, in a broad Cornish accent, I was walking in Africa last week,
And God picked me up, and he put me down 200 miles away. What do you think of that?
Well, I knew what I thought. I thought, I'm in a madhouse.
But I loved it. I loved it. This is the kind of God that I wanted to hear about. The same God who split the seas apart. The same God who turned back time on the sundial. The same God who can move mountains. Oh, you're speaking my language, Don. Tell me more. I was physically shaking with excitement. And I felt God say to me, if I'm really real, Shane, if I really, really, really am God, then do you accept that I can do anything? I said, here's the deal, God, I said, presumptuously. If I speak in tongues, then I will accept that everything in the Bible is true and that you can do anything. So I prayed. I prayed hard. And nothing happened. And sometimes I've learned that we must eagerly desire and then wait. I'm not very good at waiting. You can ask Jackie. But Don was coming back. 1 month later, there was a return visit by Don and his team to see what God had done and to help the new Christians. And I really, really looked forward to this meeting. I eagerly desired it. I knew something was going to happen. I didn't know what, but I just felt it. And in the first few moments, Don Double got up and said, if you desire to speak in tongues, go outside with my assistant Jonathan and off you go. So off I went. Oh, I missed the rest of the meeting. Missed it entirely. There were about 20 of us in this side room with Jonathan Conrath, who's now got a worldwide healing ministry. But at the time, he was Don's assistant. So we're in this side room, and there's about 20 of us, and we're standing nervously in a circle, whilst Jonathan went round praying for each person in turn, laid hands on. And by the time he'd gone round the circle once, half of the people were speaking in tongues, but not me. Jonathan said, don't worry, we'll pray again. He went round again, and then there were just a couple of us left, including me, looking baffled and rather hopeless, really. He prayed again, and then there was just me. They were all going for it, the noise, the racket. I thought, I'm in trouble here. I really am, or must be, the most cynical, hard-hearted sinner of them all. Of course it's not going to happen for me. This is just what I deserve. Why did I ever put my faith in this nonsense, this snake oil? And at that moment of complete emptiness, a machine gun sound just came firing out of my mouth, like a motorbike starting up. And out came this stuff. It wasn't from my mind, but I had absolute control over it. I could stop or start. And I said to Jonathan nervously, am I doing it right? Yes, he said, yes. Now, just remember to practice every day. Well, that night, I stayed up the whole night in my bed, speaking in tongues. It was the most joyous experience I've ever had. Just me and Jesus, having a lot of fun. I tried speaking in Chinese. I tried speaking in Arabic. I tried starting every syllable with a different phonic sound. In the morning, I was a bit worried it might have disappeared again. But it was still there. So I told everyone. And the man in the paper shop must have thought I was a bit bonkers. But I told him anyway. I was up all night last night speaking in tongues. I took Jonathan's advice. I practiced every day. I misunderstood that for a while. I thought that if you practiced, you might become like a grandmaster or something, a ninja black belt in tongues. However, nobody is ever the master of the Holy Spirit. He is the master, and he remains a beautiful mystery. And I realize now that Jonathan meant practice it every day, as in put it into practice, use it daily. Do you think that's a bit much? Do you think it's a bit weird that somebody speaks in tongues every day? Well, next slide. Have a look at that. That's what I found on the internet. A BBC article from just a couple of years back showing that the Archbishop of Canterbury, he practices speaking in tongues every day. Yeah, thank you. So it's official then, is it? It's normal. It's the Church of England. So to help me not to forget to do it every day, this is what I do. I put on the armour of God. I say, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the gospel boots fitted for readiness, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And in all things, I pray in the Spirit of God. Off I go. It's as natural as breathing. And no one knows the delightful ways in which God will surprise us when we do this. Many of you here came to the church weekend away last year. And we had a guest speaker called Akhtar Shah. And Akhtar told us that when he was filled with the Holy Spirit, he suddenly became able to speak and understand fluent Polish. Quite unusual for a Cockney Asian. But perfect for his Polish wife, Marta. Not only did it endear him to her family, but he was able to preach Jesus to the huge influx of Polish immigrants who were pouring into London at that time. You see, our tongues are used by God to bless us, to encourage us, but not just us, to bless others. Remember Wigglesworth's definition. It's a divine tool given by God himself for the strengthening of his people and the advancement of his work on earth. And as I prayed in tongues at home before today's service, I believe that God's message of encouragement to Emmanuel Church 2026 is that he sees good and faithful servant hearts in this church, and that he will bless others in and around Chichester through this church, both in old ways and in new ways, to bring much fruit in his bountiful harvest. That's what I felt. That's the translation. I haven't yet delivered a message of encouragement to a church in tongues and had somebody come up to me and say, I heard that in my own language. That hasn't happened to me, but I have seen that happen, and I know that some people here have experienced that, because God can do anything, and he can do it in any way that he wants to, in order to share his infinite power, glory, and blessing. So if speaking in tongues is like plugging into a direct power source, why would we not want to do that and make good use of what God has given us? Imagine if Tony Cardona, our lovely builder over there, he had a power tool in his van, but he insisted on leaving it in the van because he wanted to do the jobs with his old handheld tools from his old toolbox. Well, the other builders, they might raise their eyebrows a bit and think he was missing a trick. I mean, they wouldn't force him to use the power tool, but why wouldn't he? His customers might get a bit frustrated at the length of time that his job was taking. But I believe that God wants us to get on with the job of building his kingdom by all means that he makes available to us. For example, tongues can be particularly effective in spiritual warfare. Because when we pray in tongues, we are praying God's perfect will, and nothing can block or distort. It's like speaking in a code that only heaven understands. And in a world full of spiritual battles over your family, your relationships, your workplace, your community, your nation, your planet, this is not a gift to leave unused. So here we go. We're going to try. This morning, if you would like to join me in using your heavenly voice, I'm going to offer you two opportunities to do so. The first one is this. I'm going to invite us to read Ephesians 6 together. And then when we get to the end bit that says, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. If you already speak in tongues, can I ask you please to close your eyes and do so loud for 30 seconds, okay? Not just mumble to yourself, we're not going to be ashamed. Just do it loudly for 30 seconds. That will be such an encouragement to others. And then I won't feel like such a melon standing up here doing it by myself. Okay? If you don't speak in tongues yet, but you eagerly desire to, then give it a go and see what happens. No one will hear you in the hubbub apart from God. Yeah? But if you don't want to do that, that's absolutely fine. No problem. Just keep your eyes closed, pray, and be blessed. Not every Christian will speak in tongues. We are all given different gifts, but we are all equal before Jesus. We don't rejoice this morning in whether we speak in tongues or not, but we rejoice in the fact that Jesus died and rose again for us, and our Father in heaven has written our names in his book of life. That's what we rejoice in. But the tongues is a great gift. So if it's okay with you, we're going to read that together out loud, and then at the end, we'll continue loudly speaking in tongues if you want to. Let's give it a try. Holy Spirit, come. Right, let's read together. We say together, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted for the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Well done, good and faithful servants. The most important thing is for us to eagerly desire this gift and to be persistent. Don't give up. It didn't work for me when I tried to do it corporately with a load of other people. I had to go aside and have patient, private prayer, personal prayer, until suddenly something happened for me. So the second opportunity you have to speak in tongues this morning is to come on over to a quiet space over near the creche. I'll be there at the end. And if you do that, I will just simply ask God to give you this lovely gift in the best way for you. Maybe today, might happen tomorrow, next week, whenever, in a gentle way. If you'd like to, if you eagerly desire it, come and see what God will do. So as we begin to close, before a time of waiting on the Lord and Holy Communion, I want us to remember, although we're sentimental creatures at heart, we're not designed to live in the past. I can't recreate that magical moment long ago in the tent with Don Double, or the meeting a month later when I started to pray in tongues. And nor does God want me to. That was years ago. Behold, I say, God's doing a new thing every day. Speaking in tongues is not a one-time only threshold event like baptism. It's a beautiful, daily, ongoing practice of devotion. It's a source of continual refreshment, renewal, and spiritual strength. When I studied A-level French, it's the next slide, Josh, we read this book. It's called Le Grand Monde. I wonder if anybody here knows it. It's a French classic. It's very similar in sort of nature to Brideshead Revisited to English people, or The Great Gatsby to American people. I don't know if you're familiar with the story, but the story is this, that at the age of 17, Le Grand Monde, he runs away on an escapade in search of adventure. And he chances upon this magical costume party. And he's enchanted by the girl of his dreams in her vast and ancient family chateau. And it's there for a weekend, I think, but after that, he only has one driving thought in his life, to find this mysterious chateau again, to find the girl with whom he's fallen in love with. And yet somehow, in the rest of the book, he can never quite find her again. He can never quite recreate the magic of that moment. And ultimately, it becomes a book of yearning and disappointment. It was the only book ever written by Alain Fournier, who was tragically killed in the first month of the First World War. And I want to say this morning that our experience with God is not like that. It's not like chasing after something that is not real. We are not chasing an illusory, dreamlike experience from the past. God wants to take us deeper and deeper in the present, every day now, so that we can partner with him to build a better future. And as we do so, as we engage with him in that process, one of the most beautiful things that happens is the intimacy that it creates between us and Jesus. There are moments when our hearts are so full of love for him, so overwhelmed by his presence, that ordinary words feel inadequate. And in those moments, speaking in tongues becomes the language of love. It's our love language with Jesus. So in conclusion now, the more we pray in tongues, the more it becomes a part of who we are. It's like a muscle that we strengthen through use. And this gift, it builds up spiritual endurance. It deepens our sensitivity to God's presence. And it can be used in many, many different ways, for intercession, for worship, for inner healing, or simply for chit-chat with God. Through tongues, we learn to listen. We learn to discern. We learn to bring every situation to him. Temptation, fear, sickness, confusion. We bring it all into the presence of the Holy Spirit who prays within us. So used faithfully, speaking in tongues is not just mindless chatter. It's actually deep communion. The sort of communion that we're about to experience in a different way. It forms us into love itself, the true language of heaven. And over time, it weaves prayer into every aspect of our lives. It strengthens our souls. It heals our emotions. It renews our minds. It draws us ever closer to the heart of Jesus. That's a good thing, isn't it? It's a good thing. It's not just a gift. Oh, yeah, thank you very much. It's a lifeline. And of course, for me, it still reminds me every day that God is real. That was the deal I had with him. He truly cares for me. It reminds me that my name is written in the book of life. It reminds me that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, because nothing can stand against the powerful name of Jesus. So I have a final question for you. What evidence do you base your faith upon? What evidence do you live your life by? Do you know that many professors of cosmology and mathematics at Oxford University, like Professor John Lennox here, they believe in a creator God because they've worked out something mathematically. They reckon that if you pile up all the 5P pieces in one long column from the ground on Earth up to the moon, the chances of this world existing by random chance are less than one of those 5P pieces. By the way, Richard Dawkins, the well-known atheist, refuses to debate with this man anymore because he says that Lennox always ends up winning. I don't know how many billions of 5Ps it would take to get to the moon. Quite a few, I reckon. But I do know this. I know what God has done for me. I know what happened all those years ago. I know what happened this morning. I know what he still does for me every moment of every day. And I don't mind telling the people in the paper shop about it. It's the least I can do. Because after all, if we are happy to tell other people about Jesus, about his true identity, his sacrificial death on the cross, his resurrection back to life, then he will do the rest, won't he? We don't need to worry. So if you would like to do it, now is the time to ask the Lord to fill you with his Spirit. Right here, right now. Do it now. Now's good. It might be other gifts that God wants to give you, not tongues. But don't let fear or pride or misunderstanding keep you from embracing your special gifts. Don't overthink it. If you do desire eagerly to speak in tongues, just surrender to the Holy Spirit. That's what the early church learned to do. And as God released his power through them, together they changed the world forever. Amen. Well, thanks for listening. I hope it was encouraging. Come and pray with me over there in tongues later. I would really love that. I'm going to ask Matt to come back, lead us, and we'll wait on the Holy Spirit and have some Holy Communion together. Thanks. Over to you, Matt.